Hey, grandkids, welcome to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. I am flanked by my two most favoritest people in the world, and their names are Mr. Eric Nelson. How you doing, Eric?
I'm fantastic. I don't get paid for not working on Christmas or New Year's. Fuck my life. Sorry, I said
well,
it was sorry.
Well, I hope you don't expect me or the other flanking companion here, Mr. Dusty Giebink, to do the fucking... do you want to do the fucking, Dusty?
Not only do I not want to do the fucking, I don't want to do the pain either. So, you are up stinky creek, my friend.
I have no paddle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Oh, man. So, yes, do you have anything to bring up there, Dusty, to bitch about today to get off to a completely rollicking start here?
Do I? Oh, God, what do I complain about? Fuck. Everything. Everything sucks.
How about the young buck?
Oh, shit. They're jokes. I've watched a couple of their matches now. They don't even seem to respect the wrestling business. They seem like they're fucking, like, wrestling on a dare or something, you know?
Ouch.
Like, I bet you can't, like, be a wrestler. Oh, yeah, just watch, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then turns out they lost that bet because they suck.
I put on that headline, I called them starlets for a reason. I didn't call them indie darlings. You know, I didn't call them a masculine name. I called them starlets because they're very effeminate and they suck. I don't know. I can't put it into words, but I chose that word for a reason.
Yeah. Indie darlings, that'd be like Ace Darling. Wasn't he pretty good back in the day?
Yeah, him and old Crowbar Devin Storm.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a career that went nowhere.
Well, it went in the right direction then, because that guy's a chump.
That's right. Indeed.
Like someone washed Canyon in hot water and threw in the dryer too long.
Yeah, Jeremy had an amusing observation, which is I couldn't believe I hadn't thought of it myself. They look an awfully lot like the Hardy Boys way back when they just started into the WWE.
Oh, yeah. They look like the Hardys from 95 and 96 when they were both jobbing to Razor Ramon on a regular basis.
I don't know, though. I've been staring at that picture for way too long because it was at the top of our page for way too long.
Yeah.
And one of them looks like Matt Hardy, but the other one looks like kind of a retarded version of Danny Doring or something.
Right. First of all, that's kind of redundant. But second of all...
Well, no, like it's double indemnity.
It's more like double jeopardy, and that's unconstitutional.
Yeah, true.
Oh, well, they're going to be in TNA soon enough. We'll get to see them on TV all the time, Dusty.
Are we kidding?
Oh, and yeah, since we are talking about the Young Bucks, and we've already brought up TNA, I figure we may as well start there. With their general moronicity, my biggest amusement I got today was out of Hulk Hogan repeatedly mentioning how he's going to make stars like they do in MMA.
How the fuck? How is he going to do that? How is Hulk Hogan going to do that? Don't you dare go away, Kevin. I swear to God.
Losing you, Kev.
Here's a little behind-the-scenes note for everybody that can still hear us. Kevin's phone dropped out like twice earlier.
Oh, man. Well.
Sounds like a Marx Brothers movie over here.
The next Stunt Granny Audio, silent movie.
That would be awesome.
It's just like piano music in the background. Somehow we make an audio slideshow and just have subtitles the whole time.
Man, maybe that's what I should do. My brother, for his bachelor party, is going to make us have mustaches for the whole weekend.
Nice.
Maybe I should go with the Charlie Chaplin / Hitler mustache.
Do it.
Other than the weekend, when's the next time you'll be out in public?
Well, I can all shave it after that weekend.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, man. Okie dokie. Well, Hulk Hogan is already trying to drop the ball with TNA here. That is the biggest problem that I have, is Hogan says that he's going to do it like the UFC or like MMA, but don't you kind of need real wins and losses?
Yeah.
And people actually getting knocked out?
Well, and you need more stars than, let me see, I'm really going to stretch here for... No, fuck. They don't. Kurt Angle. Other than him, they don't have any real stars, and that's kind of the point of UFC. That's how they've made stars from the ground up, and then they've had them in very compelling fights. I'm not compelled to watch Hulk Hogan versus like AJ Styles or something.
Oh my god! Compelled.
Yeah, what a fucking joke that match would be.
Jesus.
So yeah, it's like, what? I mean, does Hulk Hogan think he's going to be like the Randy Couture of TNA, which, by the way, Randy Couture still wins a lot of fights. So if that's what he thinks, Hogan's answer is probably like, oh, I'll just win a bunch, brother.
Right.
Douchebag.
Yeah, he's going to hold AJ Styles up against the turnbuckles and just repeatedly knee him in the thigh for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I would pay to see that, actually. Some kind of total dismantling of AJ Styles would be really appealing to me.
Oh, yeah, man.
I don't understand what that means at all. I don't get Hulk Hogan is delusional. I think we overused that word last week, but in relation to TNA too, because we said that Jeff Jarrell is delusional.
Right.
What the fuck's up
with that? Well, and they definitely don't do one thing. Like, I don't know if he maybe means that they're going to let the person's actual personality show.
Oh,
I mean, that was one thing that always interested me about WCW, is they ended up using a lot of people's real names. So you could kind of use them as the stars. And, I mean, that's what they do in the UFC and other companies. They kind of let the guys do the talking for themselves. They don't fucking hand them a script. I mean, do you think they're going to let them be that hands off with promos?
How much do you trust Abyss with a live microphone?
Well, if you can't cut it on the mic, then you can't fucking cut it, and you deserve to be fired.
this is the danger zone. The thing is with UFC is that they're not meant to be performers. I'm sorry, I just made a reference to who did that song? Dick Marks?
Yes.
Yeah, good old Dick Marks. Ultimate Fighters are not performers. So when they get on the mic and they tell what they did or what they're going to do or whatever, it's just naturally coming out of them. You only hold them up to a certain standard. In professional wrestling, there's a completely different standard. And it's the mark is set way higher.
Yes and no. MMA feels a whole lot like late 80s NWA.
Okay.
A lot of those guys weren't like great WWF style speakers either, but they were. You gave it a very serious sports feel, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And that should be the difference between TNA and WWE in a perfect world.
The sporting aspect of pro wrestling?
Sure.
It could be. I mean, they've got enough guys who take it seriously.
Like when Watts did that survey, do you want it done like WWF or do you want it more serious and sports feel? And like 90-something percent said give it a more serious sports feel.
And then
of course, they replaced Watts and they did it different, you know? But, That's how we compete.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin, did he get into any other detail? I mean, I know Hogan likes to talk in sound bites.
Oh, no. He was very vague, and since my phone keeps on dropping out near my computer, I'm staying away from it. So that, and for whatever reason, .NET does not pop up on my computer here at home. Like, it does not like it.
No,
.NET is a computer either.
Yeah.
No offense.
So, if I did want to look for more information, I'm trying to keep this conversation afloat from my couch.
Well, okay, just the fact that you said that he spoke in vague terms, that just made me typical Hulk Hogan. Like, when O.J. Simpson was the big deal in the media, then Hogan comes out wearing all black and he's wearing a black glove or whatever.
Yep.
However he did that. Now that Ultimate Fighting is just like the hot shit, what does he do? Hey, brother, the thing I'm going to do is going to be like MMA, brother.
Yep.
Like, come on, you fucking asshole. Like, what if, what if a fucking tuna sandwich, all of a sudden the tuna sandwich ended up being the most popular thing in the whole world?
Right, everybody's talking about it. Yep.
Yeah, everyone says, you know, what is it, Star-Kissed Tuna or whatever. You mix one can of that with one tablespoon of Miracle Whip Light and some celery, and you got the best fucking tuna salad ever, and everyone on the planet Earth makes one.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, Hogan would be on TV on fucking Larry King Live. Brother, one of my matches is like eating a tuna sandwich, brother. How? Watch and see, brother. What you gonna do?
My matches are going to be just like the OJ trial, brother. So you better tune in, dude. What?
He just has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have any idea, but people sure do seem to pick up on what he's saying. So,
they listen in droves. Yeah, exactly.
Weird.
No.
And if he is just picking up on what's popular in a day and repeating it, you know, that's probably the reason why he's the great promoter that he is, really.
Yep.
There's an app for that, brother. I don't know. I'm loving it, brother.
When I'm beating you down, Christopher Daniels, I'm going to be saying, ba-da-ba-bum-ba, dude.
Oh, my God. This fucking big leather orangutan does it again.
Wow. Oh, man. Well, let's move on to something positive then. That positive would be the fact that Melina injured herself and is going to be off WWE TV for a while.
I love this audio.
Well, okay. I just got done watching Monday Night Raw. Dusty's not neighbor next door, but his neighbor two houses across the street,
down the block,
next to the library, down on 62nd and North Market. They taped Raw for me, so I watched that a little bit ago before we did the show. And and of course, Maryse, now that she's back, what does she do? She calls out Melina.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night, I think it was at a house. Is that right? Or when was that? It's on a Tuesday.
Yeah, it was on a Tuesday, so yeah, it must have been a house show.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Not to mention, Melina's the best baby face on the roster.
Oh, man, yeah. I don't know. They have at least been hyping it up a little bit. Do they end up putting on the belt on Gail Kim so that Maryse can actually beat a face before she gets the belt back, Mr. Giebink?
That should be what happens. And hasn't she been invisible the last year?
Yes. Yeah, she's been like third in line. She's been third in line in a whole bunch of six woman matches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a great use of her talent. Wow.
And she was even third in line in the Timbaland lineup this week.
That's true. She hung out for a while, and then like the only rub she really got was Miz saying something to her, and then she just kind of ugh and walked away.
She walked away from him. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, whatever. I guess she's making that money. Yeah, then whatever.
I'm telling you, it's a sweet gig. Her and Jillian Hall have got it on lock. Dude, nothing.
Yeah, really. No,
yeah,
I really envy both of them.
I want a job like that.
Yeah, for how much of a shit division the women's division is and the knockouts division is now on TNA, you know, I would have to say that she probably, even though she's getting the shaft a bit, she probably made the much better choice and is much more well paid for it.
Absolutely. You are getting some more money, I will always take.
Yeah, definitely.
No problem.
So how would you transition the belt then? How would you get it off of Melina and give it to Gail Kim? Either one of you, I don't know.
Well, the old standby for the WWE is always the Divas Battle Royal, so.
Yep.
But, wow, I mean, they just have nobody on that Raw roster now. Not that it really matters since there's only, like, two women or some type of large multi-team tag team match for the women on a Raw show.
Between the three brands, they have enough women for one decent division.
Yeah.
So to spread it out like that is criminally insane in my mind.
Yeah. And let's see, considering the majority of the talent, honestly, is Beth Phoenix and Mickie James.
Yep.
And they're both on SmackDown. And Gail Kim, too, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the top three.
Definitely. Yeah, and, you know, Gail Kim also, she has a history of winning the women's belt in those infamous Battle Royals. That was how she that was how she made her debut back in 04, 05, or whatever it was. So, whatever. I mean, if they have to do it, that would be certainly a way to do it.
Yeah, and she'll beat such luminaries as Brie Bella.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. Kelly had a pretty nice cross-body block off the top rope on Monday.
She's got a pretty nice body.
Yeah, I fucking have her body across my block anytime.
That's right.
That doesn't make sense. I put my square block in a round peg. I don't know.
We're mixing things up here.
Oh.
Yeah, my apologies for mixing metaphors. Oh, I don't want to jump ahead necessarily, but I don't want to ruin any surprises that we have coming up. But I'm kind of going to, and I don't think we planned this as a surprise. Dusty, your idea for the five of us writing our column and then doing an audio about it later, is that right if I let the cat out of the bag?
Yes, indeedly.
Okay. Dusty has a big announcement for everybody. Dusty, why don't you let the cat out of the bag?
Well, since it's still shrouded in mystery at this point, I'm sure it'll come as a big shock that I plan on doing a year in reward.
Yeah.
Which will include many columns and an audio, perhaps, possibly.
Heck yeah. I hope so. I certainly hope so. Well, the reason I wanted to bring it up, we won't let too many details out, but the reason I wanted to bring it up is because of Melina. But let's just say that I voted for her in one of the that we have planned. That's the sound of Kevin disappearing. Fa-la-la-la-la. It's not Christmas anymore.
Fuck.
You and I can still talk. Kevin can call back in. I'm pretty sure the conference is still recording.
Okay, I hope so.
I certainly hope so, too.
All right, well, people, we are live here.
We're having some technical difficulties, King. Yeah. Come on, microphone working. Hey, Kevin.
Fucking A.
Have you been sitting on the couch the whole time?
Yes. Yes, I have been.
Look at your emails.
Don't check your chat.
No, it seems as though, unfortunately, I need to keep the phone in my left hand because the time that you guys bitched at me, it was in my right hand. I was like, you know what? My left arm's getting a little bit tired, so I move it over to my right hand, and the motherfucker drops the call. I don't understand. Literally, if I walk out this door, I have four bars constantly. I walk inside of this door, it fucking blows. I don't understand.
Well,
I feel like you should just do some Google Earth sort of thing and just, like, get coordinates on your left hand. Like, don't you dare move from 31 North, 55 East, or whatever. Okay, since Dusty and I kept going, and fuck it, if this all still works, we'll just leave it in the audio because people need to know the secrets. Are we still recording, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Good and great. Okay, well, anyway, to catch you up, Kevin, what we were saying was that we're kind of sneakily telling people what we have planned for these year-end awards, but I made sure to mention that I voted for Melina for one of the awards. You'll just have to all tune in and find out which one.
Was it Best Wrestler?
Wow, that was a legitimate LOL too, by the way. I wouldn't even fucking ever consider voting for her for that award.
Well, if that's even one of our categories.
You slick bastard. I see what you did with your time off. Oh, my God.
Yep. So, we'll see if that slacker Maze is working on that. He claims he was going to work on that tonight.
Oh, good.
I can't believe he even exists at this point.
It lives.
Yeah.
It lives.
Yeah. He's still neck deep in pussy, so he can't be bothered with us.
Speaking of which, you want to talk about your date yet, or do you want to save that until after the sad news?
Okay. Well,
wait a minute. Jeremy's neck deep in pussy. Does that mean that he's a breech birth?
Oh. Wow.
Fucking 90 trimesters later, whatever it is. Then he climbing the other way. Hey, fucking couple of Russian nesting dolls. What's going on here?
No, that was definitely not the intent.
Okay.
Oh, man. He's just too good for us right now.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's all. He'll come back around at some point. Oh, actually, if he gets his new job, he'll be back in the swing of things here, actually.
Cool.
Which he's just got to wait for his manager to come back next week to get that approved, and he's good to go.
Good luck, Jeremy.
Yep. So, yeah, anywho, I'm doing the whole online dating thing because I don't know. Yeah. I was chatting with this chick over the weekend when I was gone to, when I was in Altoona there, and you know, she invited me to come out New Year's Eve. I'm like, you know, it'd be really weird to go to, like, a concert for the first night out. So, you know, why don't we meet up some other time?
Wait a minute. Real quick, the way you started this, you're like, I was chatting with a chick, and it kind of sounded like a late 80s, early 90s rap, like a young MC or something like that. Oh. Like, I was chatting with the chick back when I was in Altoona. She said, I want to date you. I said, I want to spoon you. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead. Hi. Tell us more about this. More about the date.
Okay, my friends back in Altoona, they're all nuts. And I understand this, and I don't have a problem with it. They have obsessions with pirates, vampires, and the whole nine yards. So none of it really kind of freaks me out. So this chick sends me her her MySpace page, which is just hilarious that somebody actually uses that at this point. Aside from wrestlers, really.
Uh-huh.
And,
all the white people got scared away by the fake porn.
Yeah.
And they all migrated to Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anyway.
So, you know, I see that she did this zombie walk for charity or whatever, so I'm like, okay, so she's a little fucking crazy. That's cool. I can handle it. Not a big deal. So I'm IMing her on Monday, and I'm like, okay, well then, you know, if it's going to be strange for us to go out to some, you know, concert Thursday night, let's go ahead and meet up before that. I'm like, let's meet up tonight. And she picks the bar. So I drive to, I get online then after I walk my dogs, and I'm like, okay, I'm leaving in 15 or 20. I'll see you down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like halfway down there, and she tells me, she goes, oh, I wasn't expecting it to be tonight. I was expecting it to be tomorrow night. I've already had a couple. I don't want to make an ass out of myself. I'm like, oh, you've only had a couple. It's not a big deal. Come meet me. I'll have a couple. She's like, you know, it'll take me a little bit to get ready. I was like, oh, you know what? I'll catch up in the meantime. So,
yeah.
So I take it. There's this fucking deal. It's a can of PBR and a shot of whiskey for $3. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay. That'll do me some catching up in a hurry. So she gets there, and, you know, she had reiterated that she didn't want to make an ass out of herself. So what does she do? She goes and orders us the special, both of us. She orders a shot and a beer for herself and a shot and a beer for me, and I'm just like, okay, how are you not going to make an ass out of yourself if you're doing this? But, you know, we take the shot, everything's cool. We talk for a while, and everything is going just fine. You know, we're just talking about this, that, and the other thing. And she gets up. It's, oh, she makes a joke, and I start smiling and laughing at it. And she gets this look on her face, and she goes, stop smiling like that. And I'm like, huh? I was just laughing at your joke. She goes, I'm a paranoid schizophrenic. And I'm like, oh, my God. She storms off.
What?
Comes back. And then she goes, yep, sorry, this isn't going to work. I'll see you later. I'm like, what the fuck just happened here?
Fucked up, dude.
And then she sends me this email on MySpace, you cheap-ass motherfucker. And I'm like, and then it says, you couldn't even buy me a beer. And I'm just like, huh? Like, you were only there for a beer. What the fuck did you want me to do? And she goes, you suck in so many ways, I can't count. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck I did.
I know it. I know you didn't do. You didn't shave your mustache down to a Hitler stash before you went out there.
Oh, my God.
It would have been love at first sight.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, so that was the more amusing parts. She was also talking about, oh, fuck, and I completely forgot about this. Well, she ends up telling me, too, later during, maybe it's before the whole paranoid thing. She tells me that she's actually 5 or 6 beers deep already, and I'm just like, oh, my goodness. And then she tells me that she's going to stop drinking New Year's Day.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, bitch, please. Like, and after, especially after she sent me that email, I'm like, fuck off. Like, I really do not give a shit. Like, you are a complete real life, I don't take my medicine psycho. So really, I think I'm going to be okay without you, really. I'm glad I did not spend $3 on a PBR and another shot for your drunk ass.
My God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a hell of a Monday.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because I told Jeremy, I called him like as soon as I got home, and I'm like, dude, I cannot forget any of this right now. Like, I have got to tell you about this. And it just would not come across right on Instant Messenger.
Right.
Oh, man.
That's fantastic and really sad.
Yes, it is.
I'm paranoid, schizophrenic. I was waiting for you to say, like, she came back to the table with half her face painted like Doink the Clown or something like that.
Yeah.
No, that would have been even more outstanding.
She would have tried to get away. You would have tackled her and be like, no, I need a picture for Stunt Granny. Wait.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So there's that disaster. Do we need to talk about the disaster on Monday or the actually not really even a disaster on Monday?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It sounds like you have an opinion built up.
I think the one big segment at least needs to be talked about, which is Shawn Michaels. Well, Vince McMahon / Shawn Michaels / Bret Hart segment there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've just been yapping a lot, so Dusty, why don't you go ahead and take first crack at this one?
Okay, well, they did a real good job, actually, of introducing Bret coming back and reminding people of what happened. A lot of these fans are really young, you know. They're targeting a younger demographic. They might not even remember Bret Hart because it's been 12 years since he's been in the company. So a lot of people probably became fans after this. So it was really important that they reintroduce Bret Hart and tell people why he's important. And I think they did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, I think so. I noticed that I didn't really catch the reaction entirely. It seemed like the crowds the previous couple of weeks were, you know, they were down with the idea of Bret Hart coming back, but it seemed like the reaction this week was a lot deeper voiced, which led me to believe that it was the older folks in the crowd that knew. And, of course, they acknowledged that, like you said. They showed the video, and I think it was the video package that was basically at the beginning of the Bret Hart DVD. But, yeah, it had established him as a 2-time world champ, 2-time intercontinental champ, 2-time tag champ, king of the ring, whatever else.
He's done it all.
Yeah, and totally, and, like, it made him look like one of the most popular guys ever back in his day. But I guess we'll just have to see how that translates. I mean, you're right, they did a good job. I guess it depends on how the younger fans are going to pick up on it.
Sure.
Yeah, because I didn't even think about it, but they did highlight a decent chunk of him handing out the glasses, the sunglasses or the sun plastic to all the kids in the crowd, too, which
and him, like,
is
giving the high
definitely
five
a positive.
Yeah, like the kids can be excited that, hey, this old man might give us something.
Right.
That's true. I don't know, Vince. Okay, let's keep on the positive track then. Shawn Michaels' performance in that little segment was pretty good too.
Really good lately.
Yeah.
On the microphone doing his shiz. He's really well, like I said many times, he's the wrestler of the decade. So this is nothing new. But, you know, impressive nonetheless if we're highlighting good things. He's at the top of that.
I thought it was a good swerve, too, because you thought, especially since he talked to Triple H about the whole Bret Hart deal, that was going to be the first thing that he was going to mention, and I guess it isn't really a swerve, but it was good that he brought up the Undertaker thing, too. And not really getting an answer in any way, I think, is a positive, too, so that it's not official until, you know, maybe a little bit later down the line here.
They got like 3 months to build it up, so they're doing a great job of letting it linger for a while.
Yeah, teasing it this early is good. Not confirming it this early is good because, in all honesty, kayfabe or otherwise, these guys have still got to get through the Royal Rumble. And
yep.
Mm-hmm. I understand, like, again, kayfabe, angle-wise and everything, pride being on the line and Shawn has something to prove and will Undertaker answer the challenge, but it's like, all, as a professional wrestler, his goal should be to win the championship also, and the means
yep.
of doing that would be to win the Royal Rumble. So, you know, like, they need to get past the Rumble, which is a means to an end, and then if neither one of them win that, which obviously neither one of them are going to,
right.
given the direction this is going, then it's like, okay, cool, the seeds were definitely planted, now we can confirm it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the fact that Michaels won't win the Royal Rumble. I mean, he could win it and then be able to challenge The Undertaker through those means. Yeah.
That's true. Wait, is Undertaker the champion right now? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I guess it's just a matter of if he is the champion, you know, at that time. So let's put it this way. It's all up in the air.
Well, let me put it this way. The winner of the Rumble will meet
whomever
is the World Federation Champion.
Channeling.
Are you happy?
Okay. Good point, though. But then, okay. So those are a couple of good things about the segment.
Yep.
I don't know about old man Vince. Sometimes he still rubs me the wrong way. Sometimes his performances are a little forced. When he was doing the next week's guest host will be boop, boop, boop. I'm like, okay, Vince, we get it. You're overacting that you don't want to say it. And then, like, just totally, like, overdriving the point home, that whole, only good things are going to happen. Only good things are going to happen. Yeah, Vince, we got it. Like, we all heard the line many times. You don't have to do it again and again and again.
Did you hear what I said? Because it's important. Pay attention.
Because it's in the video package. However, there was something that he did do that I liked. Oh, I don't just the fact that he called out the crowd for their what chant.
Yeah, that was awesome. I was going to point that out. Yep.
Yeah, and I think Steve Austin gets it for crowd chant of the decade.
Yeah, really.
I mean, how long has he been gone for, like, 5 years now, and people are still doing that?
Yep. And he started it in 2001. And he's been gone basically since 2004. So, goddamn, whether or not you like the chant, you have to applaud its longevity.
Right.
Well, I'm trying to think of what else on Raw there was to talk about, really. Oh!
No, Dusty
worked
up there.
I wrote it down in my little notebook, Brock.
Ah,
so
break out your notebook, Dusty. What else?
Cena asking for the match with Sheamus to be a tables match made no sense at all.
Considering he just lost one to the guy.
He lost the tables match to the guy through shaky means.
Mm.
He should demand a clean singles match on the basis that he is a better wrestler than Sheamus. And if it was a straight-up wrestling match, he would have kept his title.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for a tables match makes no sense whatsoever. That should have been Sheamus asking for the tables match.
Yeah, really. Good point.
So that bugged the fuck out of me. That's just totally awkward.
Yep.
Very bizarre that they did that.
I will say this to you. I'm pretty sure I put this on the forum. But I know I said it to somebody in some fashion. It was not like it wasn't fucking obvious from a mile away, but John Cena winning the match by disqualification keeps his winning streak alive, but keeps the belt on Sheamus.
I thought it was perfect.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He beats keeps his promise to his fans, but doesn't win the belt. Perfect.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't really argue with the way that shook out. I mean, they need Sheamus to not be a complete Kane champion there. even if they knock him back down a peg or two here after he drops the title.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they will.
Oh. Speaking of being knocked down a peg or two, I mean, unless we have something else to add to that whole John Cena thing.
Not I.
Nope.
Alrighty. I was glad to see that because when Kofi got his U.S. title match, I was like, oh, for fuck's sakes, you're kidding. He's been fucking demoted to the U.S. title again. Like, I'm going to injure somebody. And then when Randy Orton came and beat the shit out of him, I'm like, oh, thank fucking God. Oh, man. Kofi does not need to take that step back right now in any way, shape, or form.
No. Well, and Miz needs to, I mean, Miz just needs to rule over the U.S. title scene, which he is. And he doesn't need Kofi interrupting it, that's for goddamn sure. I said this over IM to Dusty while I was watching Raw. The boom drop, still, week after week after week, strikes me as the dumbest move in professional wrestling. It's like...
What? Double leg drop to the stomach?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And all the fucking machinations and shenanigans that he does before that. Yeah, real necessary. It's like, okay, the worm was one thing, but I found the worm at least entertaining.
Hmm. MVP's thing drives me more crazy.
Oh, ball in.
Why are you shooting a basketball? Seriously.
That's true.
Well, that MVP even has a beginning to it. He has the whole play up the crowd, then he goes to the rope, then he does the hop, and then he shoots, then he finally drops the elbow.
At which point you're wondering why his opponent didn't go out, get himself a hot dog, watch a movie.
Heavy on the onions. Yeah.
Yeah, heavy on the onions, just the way he likes it, and then come back into the ring. Fuck.
Actually, it'd be great if an opponent did that and then still let MVP hit the elbow and spit part of the hot dog up in the air.
You know who would be perfect for that would be Jericho. He would make that look awesome.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I guess what I was trying to, or what I was going to say, and my mind just started wandering, was that Miz is the U.S. champion, deserves to be the U.S. champion. He can go ahead and feud with some MVP type guys. You know, like I said last week, MVP's got some credentials, even if he is a total jobber anymore. Like, a win over MVP will be good for Miz at this point in both of their careers, so. Like, yeah, let Kofi, if they're insistent on continuing to elevate Kofi, then yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe the U.S. title isn't the right direction for him to go.
Exactly, because it looks like a demotion.
Yep.
And fans can read into that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's not as good as he was when he was feuding with Orton.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
So take it less seriously now.
Yep. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else fresh in my mind. Oh, we can talk about the Orton. I love how Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase just, like, casually walk up to Randy Orton backstage and with no build-up and, like, no real emphasis put on it, no foreshadowing or anything like that. They're like,
right.
Hey, man, what's up? Oh, I'm thinking about breaking up Legacy.
Right.
What? Where the fuck did that come from?
Not only did that come out of nowhere, but it's also like, why would you want to be in the group where the guy doesn't want you?
No shit. I totally just assumed that either one of those two, DiBiase or Rhodes, okay, they picked up singles wins. That's good. They're still the punk bitches of fucking Monday Night Raw. I fully expected one or both of them to walk over to Orton and just be like, fuck you, or slap him in the face or something like that and walk away.
I don't need you.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want my boss to treat me that way. I quit.
Yep.
And you know what you do then? You bring in Joe Hennig.
Right.
And you let those three roll together.
Because
and then you bring
in... You bring back Sim Snuka.
Sim Snuka, fuck that. Bring
oh,
back
fuck.
Manu while you're at it. I'll put on some foot tape and call myself Samoan.
Samoa forever.
I'll put on some 3/4 length black pants and write Samoa on one side.
I am willing to walk around without a shirt and write Samoa on my stomach if that's what it takes. Whatever it takes.
Sim Snuka and Dusty Giebink, your new tag team champion. I would pay to see 50% of that tag team.
Yes. But he better watch out because I might turn on him.
I like how you're already fantasy booking this tag team.
Yep. I could turn on him at a moment's notice.
Oh, you fly bastard. That's a mating call.
Oh, my God. That was a good call, Kevin. And also a good call is going to your local Subway for a delicious $5 footlong. Available at every local Subway.
That's right.
Don't you mean a $5 Hogan long?
Yeah, brother. I picked that up on oven roasted chicken breast, dude.
Oh, God,
that guy's a queef.
This is the best audio ever.
I'm trying to think of what else happened on Raw. I think we kind of touched on all the big parts. Speaking of touching big parts, women and tits. I don't know.
Yeah. Girls are pretty.
We could do two big parts here to wrap things up because they're both one is not so it was supposed to be a somber note but is a not a somber note whatsoever, which is Tommy Dreamer being officially out of the WWE really at this point.
Hooray.
Does anybody care? Dusty, Eric?
Oh, boy.
I don't not care, because if the rumors are true and he goes to TNA, that means we're still not rid of Tommy Dreamer.
That's right.
Yep, 90 day we'll have 90 days without him, at least.
Oh, okay, I see. That's a good point.
Yep. We can let him suck with himself for 90 straight days, I think.
he should do like a documentary on himself in the meantime. Mostly because I want to see home footage of Beulah.
No shit.
Oh shit, I keep on forgetting that he's married to her.
Yeah, that's
isn't that weird?
Most redeeming quality.
Yeah.
Also, to his credit, that they've stayed together this long.
Yeah, especially through his affair with Francine.
Right.
Oops, I don't mean to tell tales out of school.
Shh. Secret.
Sorry. Oops.
Yeah. Now, the match was definitely not really all that memorable, and his speech was just a bunch of babbling.
Really?
There, on ECW. I know you did not catch that, I don't think, Mr. Nelson, but did you, Dusty?
Yeah, the crowd heat was non-existent, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sad way to go out, really.
Yeah. Well... I know I was going to ask where they filmed it, but if they were also up in, they're probably in the Northeast too. If Raw was in Hartford, Connecticut, then I'm sure SmackDown and ECW is up in the Northeast somewhere. Which means that you'd think there would be some Tommy Dreamer fans in the crowd.
Hmm.
Oh, well. If they didn't tape it in Yonkers, New York, then there's no chance.
They filmed it in a little place up north.
That son of a bitch still around, Finish Line?
Yeah. Yeah, he still kicks around.
Good for him. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. One of the only reasons to go to that crap-ass message board.
One of the only reasons to get on the internet, Jesus.
That's true. True that.
So yeah, there's your opinion on Tommy Dreamer. Essentially my that guy. Oh, there we go. We lost him again.
So it says to Mabel, I says.
Well, we could probably just end the somberness on a somber note. I didn't realize this. I was trying to avoid anything about wrestling until I got a chance to watch Raw, just in case something newsworthy happened, because obviously it was going to, it being the end of the year and all. And then what do I find out when I hop online? That Dr. Death Steve Williams passed away.
Yes, he did.
Which, I mean, I talked about him last week and how awesome I thought he was and how I met him and talked to him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, he was super cool, and he was only 49 years old.
Every time I hear a young age like that, it really drives me crazy.
Yeah.
It really does. It's so frustrating that you can't do anything to stop it.
Yeah. Yep, it's true. I mean, cancer is going to get the best of him. You know,
yeah.
Thankfully it doesn't everybody, but you know, it did him, and it was too bad. Like I said, when I met him, he had already had surgery, and so he was talking with his voice box. The Wrestlers Rescue group, headed up by Dawn Marie, they're trying to raise money for his hands-free voice box.
Okay.
I know they've been trying for and Kevin, we were just in the middle of talking about Dr. Death. And how Dawn Marie is trying to get the hands-free voice box for Dr. Death, and they didn't raise enough money for it, but I'm hoping that they at least raise some money and that there's another cause that this could possibly go toward. In fact, when I talked to you, Dusty, about this on that last audio that we did, I really wanted to get that shoot interview set up, and there's no reason for me to not keep trying, with the hopes that I could get Jim Cornette on board to host it, get some old-timers to come to the Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo and have a sit-down chat with old Corny and maybe take a tour of the museum and talk about some of the artifacts. But I thought it would be great to give some of the money to the museum as a fundraiser for them, but also to give some of it to Wrestlers Rescue. And to be 100% honest, the first thing I thought of when I thought of that was it would be great to be able to give money to the cause of getting Steve Williams a hands-free voice box.
Sure.
Too bad that won't, unfortunately, be able to happen, but maybe there's another good cause out there.
Well, I would just say donating to cancer research
is a real good
charity just in general. My mom lost her sister to cancer, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
Really sucks.
I know Jesus.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't really think I've mentioned this before on any sort of Stunt Granny whatever forum, I guess, for lack of a better term. My friend Alyssa from back home, she was diagnosed with breast cancer for the second time, like two months ago. Yeah, so she went in for another surgery. Thankfully, it wasn't invasive. Well, whatever they call it. I guess I don't know all the terminology for it, but her cancer wasn't spreading to the point where when they just did the surgery last week, they were able to get rid of it. And so she's in recovery. She's not going to have to do chemo, which is good. But her husband, Sparks, is pretty much the reason that I started the band Hold for Swank. And so I've offered, I said, for every CD we sell online, it's $10 plus $2 shipping. I will give them $3 of that CD sale.
That's cool.
For every album we sell on iTunes, it's $9.99 to get it on iTunes. The band gets $6.37 out of that. So I said, we'll give you $2 from every iTunes sale. For whatever reason, I still have seen absolutely zero sales in physical CDs, but I'm hoping that we get a report from iTunes and it blew up and I can at least get those guys a tank of gas to get back and forth to the something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a, cancer's a hell of a disease. And
and hopefully someday we can cure it.
Yes. Yep.
I really hope someday. Look at me getting all misty.
Uh-oh, yeah.
Oh, well. But, to go back to Dr. Death, he was legit awesome, man.
Yeah, he was a badass.
Totally a badass. And I love WCW 1992, and he was a huge figure in that time frame, you know? Him and Bam Bam Gordy, their tag team together, that was amazing stuff to me.
And think about it. He was born in 1960. It's easier to do the math that way, since thankfully he was born on a year with a zero at the end of it.
Yes.
He was only 32 years old at the time when he and Gordy were tearing shit up. That's so young to me. Like, that's, I can't even fathom Dr. Death being, to me the man is ageless, basically, but when I heard he was 49 and he passed away, I'm like, I thought he was fucking 60, you know, whatever.
But, right.
I guess when you're 11 and 12 and you're watching guys like Dr. Death, like, I'm going to be 32 in 3 years. I ain't no fucking Dr. Death, that's for sure. I'm going to be 32. I got nothing to show for it. That guy's been kicking ass on every continent for, you know, how long? It's so awesome.
Exactly.
And Gordy, too. He was young, too. I don't know how old he was at the time. Of course, he's gone also.
Right.
Jesus Christ, on a crutch. Make it
stop.
Yeah,
it's so hard. It's so hard.
Kevin, sorry, I know you're back with us.
Oh, yeah, due to my shit-tastic phone. But at least, as far as I can tell, this whole thing has been recorded. Every time I keep phoning back in, it's saying it was being recorded. So hopefully it doesn't come out in, like, complete and utter garbage when we post this thing.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case.
But, yeah, as far as... Dr. Death goes, he was, like, to me, I did not root for too many heels when I was a younger lad. I was firmly behind the baby faces more times than not, but Dr. Death was certainly one of those exceptions. So, I think it is, like, everyone keeps on using the word badass, and I think that's it. Like, he always looked like he just actually want to kick somebody's ass.
Yep.
You know, he looked threatening, like, he always looked the part. So it's like, and plus, because didn't they even play up his, did he go to Oklahoma, was it, at the time?
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, they always played up that, and, you know, it made you... Because I don't remember too many other people, I mean, aside from, obviously, the Steiners, when they did the whole... Because he was part of the varsity club.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
like, that at the time was pretty much, you know, other than if JR just happened to mention where you went to college, it's like there are very few times other than the guys in the varsity club, which included Rick Steiner and then Scott later, that had their college experience as their gimmick.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that might have had an impact on it, too. It's like, oh, this guy actually, you know, wrestled. So that kind of, I think that put a little legitimacy into it.
Yep.
But really, it was not nearly as, I mean, it's not really prominent now, but, I mean, you know, you definitely have more than enough guys like Ziggler and Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, Kurt Angle, you know, who all were wrestlers in college that you can rattle off.
Right. But the thing is, none of them are Dr. Death.
Right.
I love Shelton to death. You know, Ziggler is what he is, but, man, there's just something, of, like you said, he just looks like he would kick, he would just drop everything just to kick your ass.
Well, I was going to go grocery shopping, but now I have to kick your ass first.
That's awesome. So, yeah, I don't know. Our condolences to to the Williams family. And like I said, hopefully Wrestlers Rescue finds something, another good cause to keep raising money for.
Well, yeah, I mean, even if they don't do it for the whole cancer thing, I think seeing as though the whole concussion-related problems are in the works here recently, too, that would not be a terrible cause to give the money to either.
Sure, there's a lot of baggage with professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm. They can find a good way to spend it, I think, if they don't even try very hard.
Right.
Okie dokie. Well, since I was first in, I get to be first out here. So, only the third time? So I am out, and hopefully you guys can get this out before my phone cuts out again.
Good point. All right. Well, in that case, I'm also going to call it a night. Well, other than posting the show tonight, I might even have a sippy time beer. I might steal Kevin's gimmick. I might go downstairs and drink one of my old roommates' Spotted Cows from the New Glarus Brewery. So shout out to them. Shout out to Quiche, thefullpint.com. And, yep, that's it. I'm out.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson, for Sippy Time Beer, for Kevin Kid Frango DeFrango, yep, I am Dusty Giebink. This has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. We will try to do better next time.